Hello and welcome to this edition of Food Waste Matters. It's brought to you by Honey and Fox, sponsored by the Fight Food Waste CRC. I'm Andrew Robertson. I'm joining you for a series of conversations with industry leaders on the front lines in the fight against food waste. And we'll be discussing business, innovation, and how these concepts combine to reduce food waste in Australia and indeed around the world. Be sure to check out the website fightfoodwastehub.com.au for more info about the series and access to previous recordings, including transcripts, audio, and video. We're also on YouTube, so please subscribe to our channel, Food Waste Matters. And today we are talking about fish. The seafood category is, of course, a major source of protein in Australian diets. The average Australian consumes around 14 kilograms per year. And like all food varieties, there are important sustainability and waste questions for us to consider. Where is the waste occurring? What can producers and consumers do to reduce our environmental impact and minimize waste? And might there even be some benefits to doing so? Well, to help us think about these questions, our guest today is Uma Nguyen, also known as the Fish Girl. She's a chef, an entrepreneur, and an influencer with more than 11,000 Instagram followers. And she knows the seafood supply chain from top to tail, working with producers, chefs, and consumers. And waste reduction is a big part of her mission. So, Uma, welcome.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi,
It's a
good
big
to see
honor.
you. Yes,
Thank
thanks for joining us today. First of all, maybe you could explain a little bit more for our subscribers what it is that you do as the Fish Girl and your journey to becoming the Fish Girl.
So the Fish Girl, we actually started with a phone and laptop with no real idea. And we started knowing, meeting Jason Simpson, one of our Fraser Isles Spanner Crab producers from the beginning. And he offered me to do sales and marketing. And that's how it started. And so now we have expanded. We've been operating for 7.5 years. And now we represent a whole range of Australian primary producers in wild and aquaculture. What we do is we go learn about how the product is grown or caught. Then we take that story with sample products of the seafood to chefs across Australia to get them to try it and then use it. So pretty much like a seafood fashion designers for chef around Australia.
Interesting. And your story, your personal journey to this point started in the kitchen, right?
Yes, so I'm a fully qualified chef by trade. I did a 4-year apprenticeship in Australia, and then when I qualified, I went to work in London at the Criterion Grill at Marco Pierre White and the Savoy and Life Hill Hotel in Surry Hills. And then I came back to Australia and my daughter turned 9 years old. And so when she turned 9 years old, I realized I missed everything in her life because of the hours for chefing. And I asked a friend and they referred me to, which I thought was an office job, to work at a seafood wholesaling to do office hours so I had more flexibility with my child. And from there we progressed to being a sales rep. And fast forward, here we are.
All right, interesting. We're definitely going to talk a little bit more, hopefully later on, about your transition from, working for someone else in the industry to your own entrepreneurial endeavors. But first, I want to ask, were you always interested in seafood and fish before you joined the industry as a chef, or is it something that you learned and grew passionate about after joining the supply chain?
I learned and grew passionate about it. I like cooking and I liked eating. It wasn't specifically just seafood until I took on that wholesale job. And I really disliked it, like the sales side, I didn't like it. And then I asked myself, I had to learn to like something about it, or else I would never enjoy this job. So I changed my thought process to you now get to speak to chefs on a daily basis who can do what you love, but now you can learn with them with all these new things that come along. And since then, I've just had a way open mind about things, and I'm still learning now. So, and every day, as much as there's complication in the seafood industry, I do love it a lot.
Well, Uma, given your exposure to different points of the supply chain, you must have seen exactly where some of the food waste is occurring. Can you tell us a bit more about food waste streams in the seafood sector, both in Australia and, I guess, more generally around the world?
Well, within Australia, most of our primary producers, majority of the time, sells it to wholesalers and distributors. But most of the time, it's whole as is. There's no processing, unless they're a massive company where they are processing. So for those who do process, there's a lot of like let's just use fish as an example. When they fillet down the fish, they've got all the shells, they've got all the fish guts and the waste. A lot of the times, bones could be frozen and used for stocks, for dried down to use or be sent to pet food manufacturers. Same, the guts and stuff can then be taken away and used for compost. But that's a lot of work behind the scenes to have that all set up, and not everyone is equipped or have the time or the funding to actually set all that up. And then wholesalers will then get the whole fish, and then they'll either gill gut and scale it, portion it, fillet it down. It's with all those scraps, it's what can they do with it? Most of the time it will go in the bin. Or some of them who have a retail shop will then scrape the extra flesh off the skin to get like a bit of meat out of that, and then they can make it into a fish farce, make fish cakes with it. It really comes down to how creative they are and how mindful they are of what is actually going into the bin. And then the bones could be kept, the heads, fish heads could be kept as well to use for stock soups and then be on sold. Chefs are the same. If they break down their whole own fish, they majority of them, with the ability with staff and stuff, they will break down everything and use everything. But those who are a little bit more short staff, they will buy stuff already portioned so that there is no wastage on their end at all. I don't know if that whole cycle made sense just with the example of fish.
No, it's a good
But I guess the
example.
challenge, is to people, I mean, how important is costing? With the way inflation is going across the board for everyone. I used to work in a kitchen where the whole kitchen would only have one bin. We would share one bin, and chef would come and check that bin at the end of the day, because whatever goes into that bin is food costing going into the bin. So if we were even in our own homes, if we start looking in our bins, what were we throwing away? And you were throwing away food, you'd be a lot more mindful, I think, on that's on a food costing point of view. I think on like a better example, if we were to told people that there were limited food and this was all there is, I don't think people would be wasting the way they are wasting today.
That makes a lot of sense. When we think about those parts of the fish that are often discarded, either in processing or by the chef, so the heads and the tails and so on, how much more could be done to find a home for those parts by changing maybe diners' attitudes or consumers' attitudes to eating those parts of the fish? What can we do there?
I think it's slowly transitioning. We've got like Josh Nyland, we've got Lennox, we've got a lot of restaurants that are now serving, the fish heads split in half, char grill. They're using the wings. They're even doing, fish tail roasts. Like they use the tail and they roast it. I think people are using it. It's just not as quickly, and it's not kind of acceptable for various reasons, which I don't know, depending on the demographic and depending on the category restaurants that people are going to. People are accepting the chicken wings that, they do fish wings now to make it similar to a chicken wing using the ribs of the bones. So I think people are slowly using it. I just think they're a little bit more, it's just taking a little bit more time. And I think the biggest thing we've got to take into consideration is a lot of restaurants and processors, and even our primary producers, have that labor shortage. So yes, it's the right thing to do, but they may not have the manpower or the training and enough labor to cover doing all that.
Certainly, there could be an argument, though, that if one were to consume the entire fish, for example, the whole pan-fried fish, that is actually a little bit less labor involved in preparing that animal for the table.
Well, then definitely there's a lot of restaurants around Australia that are using like a 1.5 kilo size whole fish, like, the Queensland Giant Grouper, the plate barrows. They score it, they pan fry it, they bake it, and they do it as a share plate. They are doing it a lot more. It's just how much of it, because when you start doing a share plate, that fish actually needs to be at a specific size to fit on a little plate or a share platter for it to be shared. So usually for a plate size fish to be shared, you're looking at about 1 to 1.8 kilo size fish as a share table in restaurants. That's kind of the sizing that is I see to be accepted. I don't see anything quite bigger than that at the, unless they're doing a large festival where they use like a big whole fish where they spit roast it or air dry it and then roasted out on open fire, and then it's a feast where you actually got like whole fish from everything in.
Interesting. And I guess then there's not much appetite for the sort of smaller individual sized fish for people's plates. Right.
So yeah, so with all the off cuts, they can cut it up. Whatever off cuts they have with seafood, they can cut it up, freeze it, or use it as a marinara pizza topping. Or you can blitz it up and make it into a farce and put it into a pasta filling, like in fill it in with a tortellini. You can do a lot of things, just depending on how creative that person is.
All right, that's really interesting. So that's one aspect of the waste stream. Another one that I wanted to talk to you about was perhaps the issue of bycatch, where fishers will be targeting one particular species, but as a consequence of how they fish, perhaps they're pulling in a significant volume of another species of fish that's perfectly edible, but perhaps doesn't have the same kind of market recognition.
So with the underutilized species where it doesn't affect our stock quota, it just they kind of just lack a bit of information and a bit of a push. So for example, we get a lot of for shark bay seafood, our main catch is the scampi, but it's a wild caught product. But then we catch, these little razorback prawns that has, three little spikes in it. It's got a bigger head, a little bit harder to deal with. No one knows what a razorback prawn is. And then, doing the work with a lot of the chefs because they don't have the labor to constantly peel it, deal with it. Not a lot of them will use it. So because people won't use it, the consumers don't see it to be able to drive a demand through retail. So then we're kind of just stuck. We get stuck to a point where, it's costing us more to keep in the freezer than the value of the product itself. So it's almost like, what do we have to do to re-educate people to use it? Or is it we have too many choices? That one I still can't figure out. Like, I'm still working on those ones. I mean, we can, we can peel them, eat them raw. We can roast off the shells, make a prawn oil. We can dehydrate the shells, turn it into, a prawn salt. We can cook it out and make it into an XO sauce. I mean, there's so many opportunities for human consumption before having to think of what we need to do to. Do we do it into pet food? Is there any other, usage for it?
Could export markets be part of the solution if we don't have the processing labor capacity here in Australia? Maybe other countries do. If we don't have the willingness to consume some of these other species, maybe other countries do. Is that an avenue that that the industry could be exploring?
I think definitely that is definitely, I don't really know because we haven't had to do that, but I think definitely there is an avenue. The other thing is that will come down to A, does Australia have enough resources to send overseas? And are we talking sending the product as is overseas? Because that probably would be the best. And then get them to do value adding there. To get it done value added here, the labor costs and the overheads are just really high to make it even viable or affordable for Australians.
Especially
But
when
there's
there's no
definitely.
proven demand for that product as well in the market.
Oh, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Because we're asking, hey, is there a demand? But yet we don't have enough resources, or we don't, we give it a try, but the market keeps saying no. To come up with a proper plan, how would we execute something properly? Because I can put a picture up on Instagram about something new, and the chefs can give it a go. But then, it might be a wild caught product that is inconsistent due to weather, or it's seasonal, and chefs may or may not use it, and then they can't access the product, and then we're just back at square one. So until we have a like a kind of recipe on how to get it here so that the market can access it all the way through, it takes a bit longer to get through. And
Absolutely.
it's seafood's such a large category as well. I mean, we have over 5,000 species of fish. How many do you think the consumer is aware of and is aware of themselves, and how many is actually available to them to buy in a retail shop or in their supermarket? Not 5,000 species. They'll only be picking what is consistent and available and cost effective.
So, what are the species that you'd like to see people, as not only consumers but also chefs, take more of an interest in?
Like in regards to wild, just understand that it's a wild caught product, and like with
Sure.
menus, be open to fish of the day. Because I can't tell you, I recommend red spot emperor, your long nose emperor, just some different species that gets caught, your different types of cods that can get caught. Give things a try, because they will only be caught and then not be available, if that makes sense. So give those species that you've never heard of at least a try once.
I think that's a pretty good message. And I think that's also something that our subscribers could learn more about by having a look at your Instagram page, your social media.
Yeah, so I have some random species on there. It's just like some basic information, with our Spangled Emperor where it's caught. But they go out fishing for it, and it's a trap reef fish boat. That's just based on what I know. But what I mean is, when you do go to your local seafood shop, depending on what state you live in, every demographic is different. Like, do give something a try that you've never seen before. You might walk into Sydney and you might see, I don't know, are we talking about other things as well? I mean, like, there's periwinkles, there's a whole range of things that don't affect our stock quota. And I understand if you don't know how to cook it, but in this day and age, we have something called Google, and there's just so much information out there. So, for me, there's heaps of things I've never tried, but I use my mum as a resource. We use Google. I ask chefs, like, hey, I've never tried this before, or people I know, and like, hey, do you know what we can do with it? And also bear in mind, with fish, you don't need it to be a fillet. You can pan fry it, you can butterfly it, you can roast it, you can steam it. There's a whole new range of ways to cook it. And there's no actual right or wrong either. And you can add in what you like and what you've grown up with to make it nice.
That's excellent. So be open to trying new things. That'll help us with our sustainability. Try new recipes. And also, chefs should be looking at different ways to process the byproducts as well. We can look at some overseas markets, for example, for bycatch species and so on. Would you have any particular advice for others like yourself who are passionate about food and, in particular, food waste reduction? About how they can do what you did and take really that passion and turn it into a profitable commercial enterprise.
I think at the end of the day, you all specialize in what you do, and all these things that I have or spoke to you about were kind of problems for either my clients or for the wholesalers or for the chefs, but I think instead of looking at them as problems, if we looked at them as an opportunity instead of looking at it as a problem, I think it changes. And the other thing through this journey is don't be scared to ask. I think I used to be really scared of asking for help or just asking for, anything. And I got to a point where I can ask, for me, if I got a new product, I put a picture on Instagram and I can ask 100 chefs and go, hey guys, what can we do? All of a sudden, you have 100 different answers to the one that you were stuck on. And they may not be answers, but they may be different ways you can go look at things and have a different perspective on things. And then as a collective, work together. But also understand at the end of the day, we can only individually do our part. And I think it's important that we share, what we believe in. And, we can't take over the world. I mean, we can't, eliminate waste by tomorrow. But if we all just do one or two things and we share it within our communities and our workplace, if we then all of a sudden had one person to 10 person doing it, then we're going to get there.
Well, that education and that collaboration in particular is definitely something we're all about here at the Fight Food Waste Hub and here at Food Waste Matters. So it's great to hear you reinforcing those points. And thank you so much for sharing this interesting topic with us today, Umar.
Thanks, Andrew.
No worries. And I should say also to our subscribers to go ahead and check out Umar's Instagram. It's the Fish Girl, and you can learn more about some of these interesting species and interesting cooking techniques that we've been talking about today. Thanks also to our subscribers for joining us in this edition of Food Waste Matters, brought to you by Honey and Fox, sponsored by the Fight Food Waste CRC. The Fight Food Waste Hub is for everybody who is interested in reducing food waste, so invite your colleagues to sign up to a mailing list and get notified when new content is published. Just visit our website, fightfoodwastehub.com.au, and don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel, Food Waste Matters. If you'd like to get in touch with us here at the Hub, send an email to hello@fightfoodwastehub.com.au. We'd love to hear from you with feedback, comments, or questions. So until next time, keep up the fight.